really enjoying the time of praise and worship this morning, but I discovered myself getting amazingly easily distracted. Not by anything going on, but just silly things. At one point I found myself thinking about my work tomorrow. At another point I thought about my Land Rover because it has to go for MOT this week. You know, amazing. The thing, and you're enjoying a time of intense praise and worship and you're enjoying it. And yet you find just like that, you're distracted. And I suppose that ties in, and then when I was sitting thinking about it there, I thought, well, that actually ties in brilliantly with our talk, because, we're picking up on the theme of remembrance. And one of the most important things about having Remembrance Day, or this time of year, we've had a whole weekend of remembrance, is that without the time set aside, we're so easily distracted, and we're so easily forget the things that are important. And we get on with the things of life, and all of a sudden the important things that we would like to be doing, like me this morning, I wanted to be praising God, I wanted to be bringing my worship to God, but I was distracted. And so we might have the intention of continually remembering the sacrifice of so many for our freedom, but we would end up getting distracted, and the thought would never appear in our minds. So it's important that we remember. It's a great time of year, remembrance, and although no one likes war, it's important to remember the war, and it's important to remember the sacrifice of so many. One of the reasons is it to have this time set aside, it gives us a greater appreciation. And I think as the years go on, you get an even greater appreciation of the sacrifice of so many people. Certainly when you're growing up, you know, your mind never really thinks about it in such deep terms. But as you get older, you think more and more upon it. And hopefully, the appreciation of what went on makes a difference in our lives. And that is the real point of remembrance. It's not just to cast our minds back, but it's to make a difference in our lives today. Well, we're going to pick up on the theme of remembrance this morning. But first, I think we will briefly fly through a remembrance of what has already been said in the past couple of months. And it's important that we keep reiterating to ourselves that the God that we come to is a God who always speaks. And the Bible is a record of him continually speaking. We saw, and the two examples that we keep referring to are the Garden of Eden. And we look back at Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And we see how God is speaking there. We see the three different ways in which God speaks. We see him speaking creatively, let there be light, and there was light. We see him speaking decisively, Adam and Eve, listen, eat of all the trees of the garden, but of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat. That's God that's telling Adam how it was, because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then we see after Adam and Eve did what the Lord had told them not to do, they were deceived by the serpent. They thought that blessing would come to them, that greater quality of life would come to them by eating the fruit of the knowledge of good, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were deceived. Rather, it was the word of God that came to pass, and death came to Adam and Eve. But that wasn't it, because God continued to speak. God wasn't struck dumb by the sin that came into the world, by Satan coming into the world, by death coming into the world. No, rather, he continued to speak, and he spoke a word of redemption. He said, by the seed of the woman, I will crush the serpent's head. And he was giving that prophecy right there and then, that would be elaborated on throughout the Old Testament, that a man would come to redeem God's people. So that was in the Garden of Eden. And then we have been looking, as we've gone along, we're looking at how God spoke. One of his most well-known and important moments of him speaking is on Mount Sinai to Moses. And Moses was going to then bring the word of God to the people. And we very much see that as the decisive word of God. And this is where we keep going over and over again, but we do it for a purpose. Because our minds continually get deceived and see the instance of Mount Sinai simply as God's telling everybody how it is. Just like Adam and Eve, that he told them, do not eat of the tree. Well, now he's telling us, do not have another God before my face. Do not misuse my name, etc., etc., etc. We know them as the Ten Commandments. But we saw how that It isn't just God revealing his decisive word. Rather, it's a combination of all three. It's God revealing his creative word, because what he's doing is, he says in chapter 19, how he is bringing the people and he's starting something new. He's going to make them into a holy nation. They weren't a holy nation, but he was going to create them to be a holy nation. We see at the start of chapter 20 how that he has redeemed them already from slavery, from the land of Egypt. And then goes on to tell them how they're to live in light of his creative word, in light of his redemptive word. Here is his decisive word, and this is how they're to live. And we have been studying Psalm 119 because it contains so much of our response to what God says, our response to God speaking. And we've seen some wonderful things, but we must continually be keeping in mind that when the psalmist talks about the law of the Lord, when he talks about the precepts, the commands, all these different words that he uses, he is including everything. He is including the redemptive word. He's including the creative word. He is including the decisive word of God. And that is why the psalmist is able to say that he delights in it. He takes delight not just in when God says, you know, do not steal, but he takes delight in that. But he takes delight in the promises that God gives to him. And we see that the psalmist is a psalmist who, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is hearing the voice of God. His delight comes with the words that come out of his mouth. And not only is his delight found in it, but he holds fast to it. He holds fast to the word that is that comes from God. Well, today we're going to look at, we're going to continue, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at the fourth command. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And he goes on to say, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then we're going to turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to read from verse 49. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night I remember your name, O Lord, and I will keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. If you wanted a title for this morning, you could call it The Four Remembers. Because in the passages that I've read, we see the word remember four times. And it comes in different contexts. And so as we go through this morning, we're going to see the importance to the psalmist of remembering. So we're just going to start at verse 49. We're going to go through it. The first remember we have, the psalmist says, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. This is the prayer of the psalmist. This isn't about what the psalmist is saying. This isn't the psalmist coming and saying, I remember your word, like he says later on. No, this is him talking to God, saying to God, God, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. And there's all sorts of things that we've seen beforehand how that you, you know, the psalmist always does this at the start of each passage. He puts the whole thing in context. He puts the whole relationship between himself and God in context. He's calling himself his servant. And when he comes in prayer, and we looked at this a number of weeks ago, when he comes in prayer, he's recognizing, I'm not coming, God, for you to serve me. I'm coming as your servant, God. And I want you, God, to bless me. Not for my gain, not for my selfish gain, but for your glory, so that I can obey your word. And here he is, he's saying to God, God, remember your word to your servant. Why? For you have given me hope. And we see this at the start of each section. The psalmist always coming, expressing his reliance upon God. He does not come expressing his reliance on anything of himself. He is coming and he is saying, I am completely reliant on you, Lord. I am reliant on God remembering his promises. I am reliant on God remembering the word that he has spoken to me. I am reliant upon God remembering the covenant that he has made with me. I am reliant upon God wholeheartedly. His hope, his only hope in life is that God remembers. And of course, it isn't about God just going, oh, I nearly forgot about him there. I've just remembered. It's not that. It's that God, it makes a difference. That God remembers, that God acts according to his word. But God is faithful, and we saw this at the start last week about how the psalmist is so convinced of the faithfulness of God. He's so convinced in the character of God that he, it is the answer to all his enemies. And he will come in confidence before into the king's court to declare the statutes of God, because he is so convinced on the faithfulness and character of God. And here we have it again. He's so convinced of the word of the Lord that it is his hope. The promise of God, God's word to the psalmist, is his hope. And time and again we see it. And it is an insight into how the psalmist recognizes when he's talking about the law of the Lord. We need to be so very clear about this, and I make no apologies for saying this week after week after week. The psalmist isn't coming saying, my hope in your word is that I can obey it, and that then you will love me, and then you will cherish me. No, because the psalmist is saying, when he mentions the law, he knows about the creative word, he knows about the redemptive word, he knows that his dependence is upon God's redeeming of him. Not in his ability to obey God's word. So there we go. The hope of the psalmist is on God's remembrance. And the psalmist knows that God is a faithful God to remember his word. So we'll move on and we'll read the next couple of verses. Again, 50 and 51. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law. I was reminded when I was just reading through at the start there, back to when we were talking about the importance of this psalm and how it is showing us, a bit like in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Our response to God's word is the key to our happiness in this life. And happiness, it sounds too frivolous, it sounds too shallow, I think. And it is that inner contentment in our life is dependent upon our response to the word of God. Because it's the word of God that brings life. And why have that struck me? Yes, because the psalmist most clearly wasn't going through an easy time. We think, we pray, and we looked at this before, we pray, God bless me. God bless my family. But when you read about what Jesus talked about being blessed, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted in my name. So in one way, when you're praying, God bless my family, you're saying, God, let my family be persecuted. You see, the inner contentment of God, the inner blessedness that comes from God and comes from the obedience to God's word, is not what this world considers blessedness. What this world considers happiness is a complete deception. It's lies. We have to let the Word of God define what is true. So the psalmist here is not having an easy time. He talks about his time of suffering. He talks about the arrogant mocking him. He is suffering and he's persecuted. Whether it's even related, we don't know. Maybe he's suffering because he's being persecuted, not just verbally, but physically. And notice the fact that the persecution comes without restraint. Satan, who would be the archenemy of God, and as a result of us, because God's word resides in us, and all his cohorts, all those principalities and powers of this dark world, they know no mercy. And for somebody to know no mercy is one of the scariest things I know. They're never going to take pity on you. The enemy is never going to think, oh, well, I think he's maybe had enough for today. The enemy's never going to think, well, you know, he's had that sickness. I'm not going to inflict him with another sickness just yet. I'll wait for him. He doesn't think like that. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy without mercy. And whether the psalmist is talking about his spiritual enemies coming against him, or whether he's talking about physical enemies coming against him, we don't know, but they really have their source in the same place, in the evil of Satan and the principalities and powers of this dark world. But notice his response, the psalmist's response. Your promise preserves my life. And then he says, at the end of verse 51, I do not turn from your law. His response is one of preservation. He realizes that no matter what happens to him, God is a God who preserves him. Whether God preserves his physical life, we don't know. But God will preserve his life. Says God, Jesus said, you know, although you will die, you will not perish. The psalmist recognizes in the midst of his suffering, the promise of God goes beyond my suffering. The promise of God goes beyond anything that can be thrown at me in this temporary life that I have. Rather, his comfort comes. His comfort doesn't come in anything. And we need to bear this in mind when we go to comfort people. It's not about comforting. He's not getting comforted with some wee thought of, oh, it'll be all right tomorrow. Or it's all right, there's other people in worse situations than you. Or it's all right this, or it's all right that. His comfort comes from God. Because he knows God is with him. He knows God will never leave him. And he knows, and God will be faithful to the promises he has made to him. That even though he dies, think of Job, he knows that his Redeemer lives, and he knows that he will see him in his flesh. His comfort comes from God, and God's promise to preserve him, the promise of life to him. And the other response that he makes to this attack and suffering and persecution is that he will not turn from your law. It's to persevere. I do not turn. And this perseverance shows a reliance on him remembering. And this is what we're going to get to now. His remembrance of what God has said. And we've seen that already. But everything is based upon the psalmist remembering the promises of God. Remembering the word of God. So whether the enemy comes at him directly or indirectly, and he'll show no mercy out to steal, kill, and destroy the promise, coming to undermine the promises of God in his life, the psalmist is going to, and we're going to get to this now in verse 52, I remember the law. And what he says, I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. Well, here we have a very direct word to us, because you might have already forgotten what I said 5 minutes ago, and you might have heard the word the law there. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. And you might be thinking, well, I wonder how the psalmist find comfort in that. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and going through the Ten Commandments, maybe in your head. Well, the psalmist has already said that his comfort comes from remembering the promises of God to preserve his life. So when the psalmist is talking about the law, he's talking about the law in its fullness. Not just the decisive word, but including the decisive word, the redemptive word, the gracious and merciful creative word that the Lord has spoken in all its fullness and its promises to preserve his life that we saw in verse 15. And it makes a difference. The remembering to the psalmist makes a difference, because the remembering to the psalmist means that he will not turn from the law of the Lord. I do not turn from your law, we saw at the end of verse 51. The remembrance made a difference to the psalmist's life. Verse 53, and we're going to see the psalmist looking at the evil people that are around him. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Indignation. It's a difficult one for us, indignation, because indignation speaks of an anger. Speaks of a disgust. And it's important for us that we don't mix it up with other types of anger and disgust. This is like a righteous anger, this indignation. But what is he indignant about? He's indignant because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. He is seeing around him the fruit of sin in the world. He is seeing around him the fruit of selfishness in the world. He is seeing the fruit of Satan in the world around him. He's seeing injustice. Indignation so often speaks of seeing injustice worked out in this world. It so often speaks of offense too, when you see things that are just offensive to you. And knowing the psalmist and knowing what he has been talking about, it's things that would be offensive to God. And he is indignant because he's seeing this evil around him. And the base activity that no doubt was going on that is causing this indignation, this anger and disgust in the psalmist. And you see, the psalmist knows within his heart, he knows that it's not freedom that these people have. He knows that these people who are maybe hurling the abuse at him, maybe the ones that are physically persecuting him, hunting him down for his life, as we've seen in the past, that his life was in danger. How that these people are just displaying the fruit of walking away from the law of the Lord. And the opposite of obeying the law of the Lord is to walk according to this world. And are walking according to your own selfish desires, the lusts of the eyes, all those things. It's obvious. And the fruit of that is disgusting. It's foul. And that's what the psalmist knows, and that's what the psalmist sees all around him. The fruit of slavery to sin, Satan, and self. We're going to read the last three verses here. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night I remember your name, O Lord. and I will keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. And here we really see the theme of remembrance on the psalmist's part coming through. What the psalmist is remembering the word that God has spoken, because God is a God who always speaks, and he speaks creatively, redemptively, and decisively. But the remembrance of what God has said is an integral part of the psalmist's life. This isn't something that he just does, and we'll be looking at the Sabbath in a minute very briefly. It isn't something he just comes and does one day in the week. Or for us, if he was living today, it wouldn't be something that he simply did for a few hours on a Sunday morning, maybe an hour on a Sunday night, maybe an hour on a Wednesday night. It's an integral part of this man's life. And wherever he is, the theme of his song is God's word. Wherever he is, the theme of his song, and I don't know whether the psalmist was always, since he wrote this song, he probably was singing quite a lot of the time. But the idea is it's the songs of our heart, I think. Or at least if you're a singer like me, you hope it's the songs of your heart. Wherever he is, wherever he's lodging. I have no idea if there's any accuracy in what I'm going to say, but I get the impression he's on the run when he's talking here. And you think of the psalmist David, on the run. And wherever he lodged, whether it was hiding in a cave, whether he was running here or running there, wherever he was, he would remember. And the theme of his song would be the law of the Lord. And whenever, in the night, I remember your name, O Lord. And that isn't a case of the psalmist saying, oh, what is it God's name is? Yahweh. There we go. I've remembered. No, what he's talking about, when he's talking about the name of God, it's about who God is. And this is coming back to the faithful God. The God whose love will save him. The God who has spoke promises to him. Wherever he is lodging, and he's lying down to go to sleep, he is remembering who God is and what God's character is like and what God has said. God is a faithful God. I am going to remember the promises that he has made, and I am going to remember how he was faithful to my fathers. He was faithful to my fathers before them, Moses before them. He has been faithful to his word from the first day that he spoke it in this world. I am going to remember what the Lord has said. Which comes to us. Oh, and then he says in verse 56, this has been my practice. And that's really going to take us into our application this morning. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. The psalmist practices what he sings about. He puts it into practice in his life. And I presume it's something that he's built up throughout his life. Something that he continues, because he's continually coming to the Lord saying, Lord, teach me. He's continually coming going, I don't have it all right here. Lord, teach me. And without you teaching me, what hope have I got? I need you. I rely upon you, as we're seeing this thing continually is. But he's been practicing all the things that he's been learning. And here is the challenge. Here is the challenge to me, who's had the vast amount of preaching on this book, or this chapter of Psalm. Here's the challenge to me. Have I been practicing anything of what I've been preaching about? Have I been coming to the Lord saying, Lord, teach me? Has this been the practice of my life? And it's a challenge that I put to us all, because I don't want to be the only one who goes away feeling guilty. No. It's not for us to feel guilty. It's for us to feel challenged. It's to give God room to operate in our life. It's to give the Word permission to come in and to change us from the inside. To change our hearts, to change our attitudes. But I think the application is going to be tied in with our whole theme of remembrance this morning. As I pointed out right at the start, it takes time to properly remember. That's why it's wonderful at this time of year we have a weekend set aside, Remembrance Weekend, we have a day set aside, Armistice Day. We have a time set aside for silence. Because it takes time to properly remember. We can all remember stuff fleetingly throughout the day, but to really remember, it takes time. And this is something that speaks a lot to me, and I'm sure it speaks a lot to you in your life too, because life can be hectically busy. Even if life isn't technically busy, it becomes very busy, because there's all sorts of distractions come in. 101 distractions. And that's why it takes time to remember. God, in his wisdom and in his grace and his mercy to us, gave us the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. I think he's done this for a number of different reasons. It has very important physical, practical benefits to us not to work 7 days a week, to have a day where we do not work. But it is a lot more than that. It has many, many spiritual implications too. It gives us a time every week to set aside to remember. To remember. See, without the 11th of November every year, the war might well be largely forgotten. Yeah, it'd be in the history books, but it wouldn't be a part of the national consciousness as it is today. Without that time set aside, it would be forgotten. And so without a day set aside in our week, we will forget. We will not have the time to remember the law of the Lord in all its fullness and all its wonder, in all its blessedness. We will not have time to remember the important things that we want to remember. Because we want to remember the law of the Lord, because it's wonderful. Even more, I remember talks here in the past and talking about how we only just managed to get through 6 days of the week, and we're like completely straggled, as I can't think of the right word, as Christians, you know, we're sort of on our last legs, and to come to a Sunday, to come into our fellowship is a wonderful time to get refreshed and to get strengthened and revived and to remind ourselves of what is important to us, what is important to God. It's time to have our feet washed and remember we are who God says we are, his holy ones. The psalmist, without doubt, delighted to remember the Sabbath. He absolutely, because it tells us he delights in the law of the Lord. So part of the law is to remember the Sabbath. The psalmist would have delighted in the Sabbath. He would have rejoiced when it came time to remember the Sabbath, because here was a time that he had set aside in the week to really remember what was important. And as a result of him remembering the Sabbath and having time set aside to remember the Word of God, he remembers God's promises. And as a result of remembering God's promises, he receives God's comfort. Because God's comfort is in his promises. And because he is remembering, he's remembering the promise that God has made him to preserve his life. And so as a result of that, he can stand firm against the mocking that comes. Because he has time set aside to remember. He remembers that God is giving him the power to persevere because of his promises in his word. It is imperative upon us to take time to remember. Not just once a week. You see, the whole cycle that God has put in place, the day. We need to have a time in the day. It's the same if you look through the Old Testament, all the different things that God put in place. In the temple, there was the daily sacrifice. And then there was the special sacrifices of the Sabbath. And then there was even more special 4 times a year where there would be special celebrations. And so it is, should be with us. In the daily cycle of our life, we need time set aside to remember. In the cycle of our week, we need a day set aside to remember. And then it is important for us to have times in the year set aside where we can spend more than just a day remembering, where we have a time off week where we can remember the God for a week in more proper detail, in more purposefully. I am a person who loves wee physical triggers in my life to remember. And every now and again I will remember when I lift my toothbrush out of the toothbrush holder. I remember that this is my toothbrush as opposed to Steph's, Joseph's and Jessica's. And what that reminds me of a guy who spoke about it and said, that toothbrush is wholly unto me. That toothbrush is only for my use. And dear, have anyone else who uses it as my toothbrush. And I think of myself that I should be wholly unto the Lord. It's just a wee reminder. I'm remembering what God says. Sometimes when I'm spraying my deodorant, because I don't have time for a shower. when I'm spraying my deodorant, I remember life is but a paper. And you can see it just disappears. And it's a remembrance of what God says, and that how that we need to do what is important and not waste our vapor. Other wee things that are wee reminders to me to remember the Word of God. We need to have our wee reminders. We certainly need to have time every day set aside. We need to have time set aside every week, like God has commanded, to remember the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you that in your wisdom, knowing our weakness, knowing the deceitfulness of our hearts, knowing how incapable we are of withstanding the taunts of the enemy, Lord, that you have provided all that we need. Lord, you have provided your word to us. And Lord, we pray that you will give us the wisdom and the insight to set aside proper time to remember. Lord, the psalmist knew the importance of knowing your truth. Lord, may we know the importance of remembering it too. For your name's sake, amen.
And just before we stand for that song, I am...